Oh, Lord.
Blog Talk Radio.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Lori. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Lori. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Oh, my God.
Welcome everybody to the big show. Welcome to the big show. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Oh, this is Lori Pickup from Michigan. Thank you so much.
And happy birthday. Oh, yeah. Once again, 29 years old. Oh, yeah.
You better be not a day over.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Wow, you look good for 29 years old. Goodness.
Yeah.
Yes,
ma'am.
So, it's you have any special plans?
I don't know yet. We'll see tomorrow. Something will get
sprung
on me.
Yes, yes. So now it is Monday, January 22nd, 2024, and tomorrow is a big day in New Hampshire. We'll have Donald Trump, the orange evil monster, versus Nikki Haley. You know, the family values, all for a woman, conservative woman from South Carolina, former governor, former UN ambassador. Yes, so, you know, it's going to be interesting how it turns out tomorrow because Nikki Haley, according to polls, if you're to believe them, is gaining on Trump. Trump had like a 25-35% lead in the spread, if you remember going into it. And, you know, the polls are saying that she's gaining. And the only way she's going to be taken seriously is if she make a good showing and give Trump a run for his money or outright win it. We don't think that she's going to win it. And in the New Hampshire primary, Democrats can cross over and vote in the Republican primaries. Maybe that will help her in defeating Trump. Who knows? But, you know, we don't really care about Republican politics as much, as so much as to, you know, cross over. Because, you know, let them do their own thing. Let them infight and, you know, have that civil war and, you know, let their party come into extinction like the Whigs. The Whigs back in 1850 refused to change with the times, and we saw what happened to the Whigs. They got extinct and out as a political movement. So the Republican Party is basically making the same mistake. And this is Season 6, Episode 29. What does it mean to be a liberal, progressive in America today? Last Thursday, we had what does it mean to be a conservative in America today? No, we'll have the flip side of that. So liberalism has saved America in 1932 and continue to do so today. Every time a conservative Republican tried to run America, to ruin America, it took a strong, intelligent, and decent liberal progressive to pull us back from the abyss. Trickle-down economics is a sham. Culture Wars is a waste of time. Critical race theory is a distraction. Being woke is necessary in today's society. The Democratic Party is inclusive and resembles what America looks like today. By 2040, America will be a minority-majority country. If MAGA Trumpers and establishment Republicans can't have such a drastic change, they are in for a rude awakening in the near future. What is a liberal? Not a communist, not a socialist, not soft on terrorism, not soft on crime. How has the modern-day progressive movement shaped the way you think? Is progressivism helping or hurting America? Thank you for joining us on the big show. Weigh in by calling in at the show at 515-605-9802. Say your first name and where you're calling from. Be respectful by not speaking over the host and any caller who may be online the same time as you. Turn off all background noises and distracts the audience listening. And it's pure hell for the host. So visit kitchenpolitics123.com. We'll have blog articles there. We'll have cooking recipes. We'll have merchandise that I promise you will be on sale soon. Trust me. We're in the final steps of, you know, finalizing that. It's been a, you know, a long run and everything, but it's going to come to fruition. So this is Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. We're on Facebook. We'll have a group and we'll have a community page. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking, Lori, birthday girl.
Yeah. I'm just going to go through a little bit of what I wrote and what I believe I am, as a liberal, what I believe, and that way we can start a conversation. I am a professed liberal. I am also a progressive, and I'm also a Democrat. I guess it's all wrapped in one. So here's my breakdown. I believe a country should take care of the sick, the disabled, the elderly, and the neglected. A country as rich and powerful as the United States of America. And we cannot call this country civilized if we do not do these things. That's my opinion. Healthcare is a right. It's not a privilege. I also believe that people should not die or lose everything they have because they cannot afford health care. The Affordable Care Act really has helped millions of people. It has its flaws. It needs improvement, but it was a start. And we need it to reach even more people. I also believe education should be affordable, but I also it doesn't have to be necessarily free, but it would be nice because in all other countries in Europe, they do have free education. They do have free college, but why not here? You know, no college student should graduate with a six-figure debt. That's my opinion as well. I do not believe that we should be taken that I lost my train. Hold on one second. We should be taken and given. I don't believe that money should be taken from you and given to people that do not want to work. But I do believe that, and I don't think anyone would like that. I do have a problem when I see a society where a handful of people who possess all the wealth, most of the wealth, you know, and they see people starving and freezing to death and dying in the streets because they can't afford, you know, to go to the doctor. They can't afford health care. You know, I have a problem with that. You know, we need to have fair wages, lower housing costs, universal health care, affordable and even free education, along with paying their fair share would change a lot for the better in this country. And I'm talking about the wealthy who do not pay their fair share. And we all know that. And lastly, I truly believe that churches should pay taxes too. If someone has a problem with that, I don't care because I do. We know how many millions of dollars these parishes, these churches make, and they have airplanes and million-dollar homes. And they don't pay a penny in tax. So that's not fair either. I'm also for peace. I'm for diplomacy, and for protecting the environment. You know, that's even for future generations, so they can go on, so they can breathe, you know, and thrive in their in the world. I also believe mm-hmm. immigration is a good thing. We are all descendants of immigrants, and this country was founded and built by immigrants. And I also believe that that we should live without fear of gun violence and mass shootings. And lastly, for now, I also believe our democracy, I believe in our democracy. I believe in fair and free elections. That's mm-hmm. what I believe. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed, indeed. And all those things that you listed off make perfect sense because mm-hmm. we live in a crazy time now when Republicans, and I wouldn't even call them conservatives, these right-wing mm-hmm. hacks who don't know the Constitution but think they do, going mm-hmm. on about, you know, immigrants destroying and poisoning the blood of the country.
Mm-hmm.
That's talk, you know, Adolf Hitlerist talk. You know, there are major differences between Democrats and Republicans. And for those mm-hmm. people who are the 44% who are registered independent or NPA, which is no party affiliation, you know, get off the sidelines. You've seen the first 4 years of what Donald Trump and Republicans are all about. They're all for mm-hmm. big tax cuts for the wealthy and the 1% corporations. Therefore, mm-hmm. not doing anything. To help immigration. They're not doing anything to protect children in terms of gun violence. They're not doing anything to help women, you know, under the shit on women, basically. And with mm-hmm. the overturning of Roe versus Wade, as we saw the Supreme Court done, the majority of conservative judges, though during their hearings for confirmation, they said they wouldn't touch the law, they lied.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what this is what MAGAs and this is what Christian evangelical right wing lunatics do. They lie,
mm-hmm.
you know. So yep. this is up to us in 2024 to stop them on every level, whether it's federal, statewide, local. You know, even dog catcher. We're not really elect Republicans in these positions because they don't know how to govern. They don't know how to deal mm-hmm. with people, and they are about, you know, white is right. And everybody else mm-hmm. will shit on you. So not we allow that mm-hmm. in America. And after what they did on January 6, 2021, it was a dry mm-hmm. run. So when 2025 mm-hmm. come, certification, I expect mm-hmm. the same thing because these people are thick-headed mm-hmm. and never learn. And, you know, to call them hostages, like mm-hmm. Congresswoman Stefanik and other Republicans like MTG saying they're hostages, no. They led an insurrection led by Donald Trump. They had an insurrection led by Donald Trump. And according to the mm-hmm. Constitution, the 14th Amendment, Clause 3, anybody who lead an insurrection or, you know, cause it, Donald Trump did, they'll be off the ballot. Mm-hmm. Colorado did the right thing. The Supreme Court will hear about it soon and rule on the case. And I hope the Supreme Court, which I doubt because I have a 6-3 majority of conservative judges, they put them back on the ballot. That's what I'm expecting. Mm-hmm. So it's up to us to unite, you know, whether mm-hmm. you're black, brown, Jewish, purple, orange, whatever, come mm-hmm. together for a common cause and saving democracy. Because it means mm-hmm. a lot to the world, not only America, because people look up to us in the world. And, you know, we don't have a stooge like Donald Trump in there who doesn't know what he's doing and have megalomaniacs. Mm-hmm. And psychotic people who don't know how to govern, they've shown it and proven it time and time again, with the least productive Congress since 1932 when the Great Depression was going on. You know, they've passed mm-hmm. 27 legislations in the past how many years they've been in power, and the American people deserve better than that. So the Republicans mm-hmm. don't know what they're doing. And, you know, it's so shameful and dreadful. And as Hillary Clinton rightly put, deplorable. So we're going to take your call mm-hmm. soon. The number is 515-605-9802. Say your first name, where you're calling from. The topic tonight is Season 6, Episode 29. What does it mean to be a liberal / progressive in America today? We're looking forward to the calls, and I hope everybody could join us, whether you're Democrat, Republican, Independent, NPA, Communist, Socialist, whatever. Everybody is welcome. As long as you're a right-wing MAGA and you don't scream over the phone and try to overtake the show, then you won't be cut off. So the first caller here is Elaine calling from the great state of Michigan. Hello, Elaine. Welcome to the show. What's cooking?
Good evening. Happy birthday, Laurie.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
And you're not a day over 39, are you?
No, I'm not.
No, no, 29.
Well, David said 29, so I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know if I want, you know, I don't know if I'd want to be 29 again, but 39 is pretty good, you know? You know, there's one thing that I just want to get off my chest. Before we start, if you guys don't mind, I saw an interview with Governor Sununu. He's a New Hampshire governor, and he is all on board, you know, for Nikki Haley. And he feels that she could win, you know, the primary tomorrow, which, okay, I don't care. I mean, he could feel that way if he wants, you know, and he dedicated a lot of time, et cetera. But what bothers me is that when he was asked if she does not win the primary and she doesn't go forward, you know, then or she drops out because she doesn't win this primary. I don't see her doing that, but I'm just saying she was at, he was asked if he would, if he would, you know, who would he support, you know, if she's not in the race anymore, if it ends up being the orange monster and President Biden. And do you know he had the nerve to say he would support Trump? I couldn't believe it when I heard him say that. And you know what? There was an interview that was that he did not long ago. It was probably a couple years ago. And in this interview, he said everything that he could say about Trump, how, you know, how much he disliked him, you know, how bad of a person he was, blah, 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 and on and on and on. And tonight, he has the nerve to say that he will support Trump if Nikki Haley does not win, you know, if she drops out or doesn't win the primaries or whatever. I mean, that is how disgusting these Republicans are. And you know what he had the nerve to say also? It's because I want a Republican as a president. What the hell? What kind of a man is Donald Trump as a president? I lost all respect for that man after tonight. All respect. Another Republican down the drain.
Well, with Chris Sununu, you know, he's coming from a family stock where his father, John, he was a chief of staff of George H.W. Bush. And he's a diehard Dinah Wilkins conservative Republican. You know, if be who you are. You know, and he's been all over, Meet the Press, Face the Nation, this week with George Stephanopoulos, all the shows you can think about.
Yeah.
And he lambasts Trump like Chris Christie did. And for him to say that, that, oh, yes, if Trump is a nominee, then he'll support him. You know, it's like, what are you doing, man? You're going around the place lambasting him, which is right. You should lambast him, being a hypocrite and a demagogue he is. And, you know, to like, turn you back now and say you support him. Like, you're just like the rest of them, basically, not independent thinking and lucky to abomination like Trump. You know, it's just disgusting.
How about courage? Lacking some courage.
Yeah, lack courage or conviction. You know, it's sad. You know, I feel horrible for the man.
I don't feel horrible for him. I feel that he shouldn't be governor anymore. When his term is up, he should. That's how I feel. That really made me upset. I mean, I was like, are you kidding me? Because I've always kind of liked him. I knew he was a Republican. I know he's conservative. But he always seems like he has some common sense. not tonight.
Mm-hmm.
He burst my bubble. So, done with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't really pick any conservatives seriously. When it's the one thing,
when
push comes to shove, the always tore the party line. You know, we'll start with Liz Cheney. Disagree with Donald Trump on fundamental issues, but 90% of our vote was for the things Trump wanted to push through when she was a congresswoman.
Yeah.
So, it was great what she did on the January 6th committee and calling him out up to this day. But when you're in there and had power, you voted for the shit he wants that was detrimental to the majority of Americans. And it was killing the middle class, and he still went for it. And next example is that senator from Rhode Island. Is it Rhode Island? Senator, I'm looking at her face now. And she said, she felt lied to when she voted for Gorsuch to be in the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember her name. Senator, I call her Senator Nitwit. Lord. Her name will come back to me.
Stemmick? Stemmick?
Hmm?
Senator Stemmick? Maybe I'm pronouncing it wrong.
No. Mm-mm. No, man. No. Mm-mm. But anyway, Republicans always vote against on party lines. We'll have a senator from Alaska, for example. When she didn't toe the party line at one time, they nominated somebody. She ran as an independent one. And even though the party treated her like shit, Lisa Murkowski, she went back to the Republican Party. So, you know, these people are so brainwashed. And programmed, even when Republican Party show that they hate women, and you know, totally the opposite of what they're saying they're going to do, you know, they still go back. Like it's like a dominatrix, and the person who submits is like, wow, you know, spank me, master. Thank you. Can I have another? You know, it's just a sick, twisted Republicanism, I call it.
Saying also this afternoon for a little bit, like a little debate between a MAGA Republican and a Democrat, and he asked him, what did Trump do that you still support him? What did he do, you know, to make you think that he is, you know, worth, after 91 indictments and, you know, everything, he went through everything. Why do you still support Donald Trump? He said for three reasons. And guess what the three reasons are? Brett Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett, and who was the third one? Oh, is it Neil Gorsuch? Yes.
Yeah.
Those are the three reasons why he hails Trump and thinks he deserves to be the president. What
but
kind of
look what they voted on.
Huh?
Look what they voted on. See, these MAGAs aren't coming out with the rest of the reasons, are they? They're not saying it that they're dominating women. They defeated Roe versus Wade. They're not saying that. They're just they're skirting around the reason. They want the women to forget.
Women will not forget. They will not forget. Trust me when I say they will not forget. I listened to an interview that brought tears to my eyes just a little bit ago on MSNBC, and it was a OBGYN doctor. She lives in Texas. And she herself was pregnant, and it was a pregnancy just like that other young lady that she had to have an abortion. And but not only that, she went through that trauma because she had to travel to another state. But now when she sees patients, she, even if she knows that, you know, when they have their ultrasound as they're going along in their pregnancy, even if she sees a problem, she can tell them what their problem is, but she cannot help them. And she says, it's just unbelievable what we are going through, what these women in Texas and other states are going through, the hell that they're going through and the torture that they are going through. It is just so unfair and wrong. And this is why I think that it's going to be a major issue up the road here. It's starting to catch steam again. And she did an ad for the Biden administration about about her story. Can't wait to see it.
Yes, the senator I'm trying to remember is Susan Collins. She's an idiot. I'm sorry. She believed them and she felt lied to, according to her. You know, she felt that Trump lied to her. I guess she hasn't been paying attention. That's what he does: lie and cheat and steal and rape. You know, so Susan Collins. If anybody who works in your office listening, or if you're listening by some fat chance, you're a moron, okay? Please, you know, choke on a ham sandwich or something and die. You're stupid.
I know, she's
Susan Collins. Yes, she is. I don't know why the people of Maine don't get rid of her. She is such a fucking buffoon and an idiot, you know?
I don't get it either.
And I have respect for women, but I have zero respect for that woman. What a stupid cow. You know?
Yeah, she's terrible.
You
know, it's just, I don't see how you can be a woman and want to take away, you know, such an important, you know, abortion right to people, to women. I just don't understand how you can throw that aside, you know, morally.
And Susan Collins, she's up for re-election in 2026. She's currently serving independent Senator Angus King. And Senator before him, Angus King, was Olympia Snow. She is another Republican who retired, thank goodness. She called herself a Rockefeller Republican, but she was not. She also tore the party line, even though it was stupidity. A downright evil that the Republicans wanted to miss America. You know, so she retired in the 2006 elections. So hopefully Susan Collins is next where, you know, the voter are out of office. Yeah, Susan Collins was born in 1952, December 1952, and she's the longest service congresswoman from the state of Maine. And she's been serving Maine as U.S. Senator since 1997. So, yeah, time to retire now. Time to go, Susan Collins. You're a moron. You know?
You're right about that.
Yeah, she is, let me see. Currently, she's on the Senate Asian Committee and the Senate Homeland Security and Government Affairs Committee. She serves as the ranking member, I think, if memory serves correct, on the Senate Appropriations Committee, you know? So, yeah, that's who she is. And I can't wait for 2026 to be here because people like her and Kristen Sinema in Arizona, she's up for re-election, Kristen Sinema, in this year. And she's not running as a Democrat, but an independent. She hasn't declared if she's running again for re-election. And even if she does, who do you think is going to hurt more? The Democrat that's running, his name is Ruben Gallego, congressman, and Karen Lake is a Republican running for the nomination. So in a three-way race, I don't think Kristen Sinema will take away votes from Ruben Gallego because Democrats hate her guts, and that's why she runs as an independent, because Democrats would like, if when they had a primary, she would have been drummed out as the nominee. That's how horrible this woman is. And she has no sense of dress. She has no dress style. You saw her in the State of the Union in that big, big bird looking yellow dress that she was wearing. Good Lord.
Well, she needed attention.
Yeah, did something throw up over that dress? It was hideous. Just like her.
Well, she thought it was nice, so whatever.
Yeah.
Yep. Elaine, were you going to say something?
Yeah. I'm just waiting for my turn.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
I believe everything that you said about a liberal. I believe that people, when people need help, you help them by their bootstraps. Mm-hmm. You give a person a hand up. I mean, after all, somebody falls in front of you, you reach down and help them up. Well, there's all kinds of ways of falling. We need to be a liberal is just kinder, okay? But I do want to bring up this fact that so many conservatives and MAGA Republicans kind of tarnish the image of a liberal.
Mm-hmm.
A liberal does believe in law and order. A liberal believes in laws. A liberal believes that if a person commits murder, they are punished. Mm-hmm. A liberal believes that if you abuse a program, including them, you're punished. Mm-hmm. A liberal believes nobody is above the law, including Trump.
Yeah.
A liberal believes in a strong military to protect our nation. It's what we have to do right now to have peace.
Mm-hmm.
So, just because I and my friends say we're liberal does not mean that we are gunfighters and that we disobey the law.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely not.
The programs that we put in place, if somebody cheats and steals from it, we darn sure, that's not the right wording, for sure we want them to be punished. If you steal, if you steal from a program that other people could use and you steal from it, you should be punished. So don't try to tarnish our title as liberal. I wear it proudly.
I do too.
Mm-hmm.
Always we have and always will.
Yes,
I believe in unions. I believe people have a right to organize. That is the true definition of a union. A union is a block of people to organize. That is the only way you're able to do anything with a mega corporation. So I believe in unions. I believe that unions should have the right to strike. I do not believe that they should that the companies have a right to hire strike breakers. I think that's wrong.
Sure is.
So there's a lot to a liberal, and you live next door to a liberal, and you're gonna know you live next door to a liberal because when you are in a hospital and your lawn needs to be watered, I stand there, your neighbor stands there, and you water their lawn. Big deal. That's what a liberal does.
And
yes.
Okay, I'm done.
I agree with everything you said, Elaine. Absolutely everything.
I agree with everything you said. I just wanted to add a little bit different slant to it.
Like I said, I probably could have gone on, but that was enough, you know. So, but where do you want to go next, David? Where do you want to go next?
Oh, yeah, we're going to take a call from Eric soon. Eric has this 20-state strategy that he's always talking about when he calls a show, and even on his show, and he's absolutely right.
Okay.
The 20-state strategy includes some of these red states, like Texas and Florida. You know, Wisconsin is a must win because if we don't win Wisconsin nor the Midwest, then, you know, we're in deep trouble. And, you know, liberalism has been around. The peak and the golden years of liberalism was from 1890 to 1920 when, you know, it started with Theodore Roosevelt when he trust busted and broke up those monopolies, and every president ever after that, well, except for Calvin Coolidge and Herbert Hoover, when Warren Harding, who was assassinated, they were staunch conservative, believe in trickle-down economics, but back then they didn't have a term for trickle-down economics. And Warren Harding, before he was assassinated, was one of the most corrupt presidents and politicians in the history of the United States. You know, so if it wasn't for progressive movement between 1890 to 1920, we wouldn't have unions, we wouldn't have women who had the right to vote. It was a Democrat, Woodrow Wilson from New Jersey, who even though he was a racist piece of shit, he gave women or pushed through legislation and signed bill into law in 1919 to give women suffrage, the right to vote, you know. And so Republicans, you know, slowly but sure, are trying to take away this right from not only women, but also minorities and people who have been imprisoned and did a time and everything. And they have to jump through all sorts of hoops to try and get back that right to vote. You know, they try to suppress the vote by, you know, different things. Voter intimidation, show up to the polling station, lurk around these polling places, see what people are doing, have the guns at the ready. You know, these things. What the hell? They're trying to gerrymander districts and redraw districts where the Supreme Court and even the state Supreme Court of whatever state, red state. So no, that's illegal. And they still do it anyway, you know? So, you know, things like that we'll have to cut out, we'll have to stamp out, we'll have to fight back. Because if we don't fight back, then the American democracy is a lost cause, and, you know, this may be the last election if Trump wins. So, without further ado, let's welcome Eric from Michigan. Eric, what's cooking tonight, man? Hello?
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I just phone was on mute.
Oh,
okay,
hi,
everybody,
Eric.
I'm here.
Hi, Eric.
Hey. What's up, Eric?
So we got what? Elaine, Susie, y'all here?
Elaine is here.
Elaine is
here. Okay, good. And like I said, very much appreciative, David. Thanks for giving a recognition and shout out to my proposed 20-state strategy. I think it's very important and it's going to help us all.
Yeah, man.
And so to those of you, who are listening, just to give a quick rundown of it, this 20-state strategy is a thing that I single-handedly proposed, where it's going to help Biden and Harris, but not only them, but other top Democrats who are running for, you know, the Senate, the Congress, the governors who have elections who are up later this year. And a lot of those states include the obvious swing states, which are Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Minnesota. And then the other states include Virginia, West Virginia, North and South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, Texas, Arizona, Nevada, Maine, and five other ones that I can't think of off the top of my head now. I wrote the post about it, but I forgot to edit it. So once I do get it all together, I'm still in the process of kind of piecing all this together before I officially release the video and share it amongst different Democrat groups and pages. And like I said, right now, it's things are looking a mess. I see a number of polls that say that Biden is slightly in the lead. Other polls might have Trump slightly in the lead. Essentially, it is tied for the most part in a lot of states. I don't know what's going on in the swing states because – you know, those are the states that Biden and Harris went to support workers, unions, the UAWs, all of the things in which Trump and the Republicans have actively and blatantly and unapologetically opposed. And so I still stand by my statement that if we do everything we can in our power to help President Biden and Vice President Harris for this election, and for some reason Trump or another Republican still ends up winning, again, it's the voters will be held more accountable for that than a lot of the politicians will. A lot of the media will be held accountable because they gave Trump too much attention. And so they will be forced to live with the consequence that they chose to go down that path because this is what we told you was going to happen. And it's very important. There's a couple other people that I want to give a little recognition to. Politics Girl, a.k.a. Lee McGowan, who does a YouTube show promoting Democrats and opposing Republicans. I'm going to do my best to reach out to her, get her on the live feed, and if push comes to shove, I can probably even get her to call to this show. We need all the voices we can get, and she's one of the best voices out there.
Oh, yes, she is. Yes. I love her.
I just started following her a few months ago.
Oh, gosh, I've been following her for a few years. She's amazing. She has.
Yeah, I just discovered her not too long ago.
Yeah, she's had this way with her, you know, how to just get out there and get what she has to say. And, you know, she just attracts people that way. And she's got a talent, a really, really good talent for doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So she's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Okay,
really,
so what's
is
a progressive? You know, so the, let's begin with the adjective progressive. A simple
mm-hmm.
Google search shows it relates towards like progress, development, reform, innovation, forward thinking, you know, words like that. So through these words, you can see that to think progressively means to think along the lines of developing and innovation.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, now may ask, what kind of progress? Well, you know, we need to emphasize the difference between thinking progressively and being progressive. Anyone may think progressively about something, but not everyone is progressive. A good example of that, person A is an engineer who just discovered a solution to an engineering problem in their work. They apply progressive concepts to come up with an innovative solution. So person A also thinks women should not be in leadership positions. Although person A thinks along the lines of progress, we may not consider them progressive. You get what I'm saying? And this is why. A progressive is someone who thinks progressively about the values and principles that guide our society. They think progressively about how society could be healthier, wealthier, and more equal. Another way of putting it would be that a progressive is someone who values the progression of society and humanity and are willing to have their own beliefs challenged for that purpose. So it's not a cookie-cutter thing where you're conservative and you just fall into line, even though you may disagree and think it's total garbage, you know. But once, you know, like everything is made up and you have a nominee, then you just fall in line and endorse that nominee, even though the nominee will shit on you from time and time again. That's what the Republicans and Trump doing, you know. So it's like, you know, follow me or else. And there's this line by Ronald Reagan, thou shalt not speak ill of a fellow Republican, the 11th commandment. And Trump is the opposite of that. You know, Trump is no conservative. You know, he's just for himself. You know, he's neither progressive nor conservative. You know, so the values that guide our society are complex and based on many decades of passed on beliefs and way of thinking. So for the sake of simplicity, we can define these values as rigid or progressive. So there's, of course, always a middle way, but to clarify the progressive, we first need to clarify their opposition, the rigid thinker. And conservatives are rigid thinkers. They're not willing to bend even a little. It's their way or the highway. So the rigid thinker may believe society should operate a certain way. They have their fixed beliefs on, about what the individuals in their family and society should or shouldn't be based on, an inherited belief system that doesn't welcome change. They perceive progressive beliefs as a threat because they think society is supposed to work in a certain order, and any beliefs that suggest otherwise are dangerous. You know, so these people are not independent thinkers. They're illogical. No. They're usually religious and stupid. You know, and the progressive is totally opposite of that. You know, when you have an economic system like trickle-down economics, for example, voodoo economics, and it's been going on since Warren Harding, since Calvin Coolidge, since Herbert Hoover, and time again it keeps failing and failing. Why would you continue using that system after years, you know, of showing that it's failed and never help the majority of people, and you still, you know, use it? That's the definition of madness. That's the definition of stupidity. And that's what conservatives are, stupid and ignorant and not willing to change. And like the Whig Party back in 1850, the unwillingness to change and conform to society and change in society, they went into to extinction. And the same thing is going to happen to the Republican Party. So that's my take on who a progressive is and the difference between a progressive and a conservative.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. And, you know, the Republican Party has brainwashed people into thinking, you know, it's going to trickle down, you know, from the top, it goes down to the bottom. Well, we know that's not true, because when you even water a tree or a tomato plant, or whatever in the garden, you know that you're watering the plant itself at the bottom, at its roots. And that's how it grows. And that's how it thrives, you know. And so that old antiquated trickle down is a bunch of bullshit. I mean, that's all it is. And they've not been able to move away from it. They just haven't moved away from it because it helped them. That's why. It helped them.
Yes.
That's the
only reason why. If it weren't for progressive movement and liberalism, would we have women getting the right to vote? Would we have labor unions? Would we have, you know, countless other things, you know? Equality, equal work for equal pay. You know, we need that now. You know,
what the progressives have to know is this, that we do have the unions, but the unions are in jeopardy because the Republicans have chipped away at law at the unions, and they have made laws to make it harder and harder to organize. And they made it harder and harder to go on strike.
Yeah, they have.
I think that the people who are in unions who think they are progressive had better start looking into besides Fox News and Owenon and the Owenon theories and etc. Start looking into the unions. Go to the unions. Get the research done. The Republicans are chipping away at the union's rights. And the union is you, the people. The union is no mysterious person in the sky.
No.
It is an organization of the people working at a particular industry.
And
the Republicans have chipped away. I didn't mean to cut in, but that thought came to me, and I thought it was kind of important. Thank you.
No, it is. And you know, Elaine, the thing is that just like when we had the strike here with the big three in, here in Michigan, you know, we had a great, the UAW had an awesome president. He wasn't going to take any garbage. But we also know that there are MAGAs that are working Ford and Chrysler, you know, and we know they work there. And they don't want to be in the union. But at the end, did they take the raise? Did they take the benefits?
Oh, of course they do.
Associated? Of course they did. So they are hypocritical on top of everything else. Because if they don't believe in unions, then they shouldn't get that raise. They should not get better health conditions, working conditions. They shouldn't get better health care. They shouldn't get any of those benefits. They should have
to be kicked out of the union.
Yes, out of the union, and they should have to go to their supervisor and ask their supervisor. And you know what his supervisor is going to say to you? You know, I don't care if you don't get a raise. You're not in the union. I mean, this is just how ridiculous it all is. They reap the benefits, but they don't want to pay the dues, and they don't want to be associated with the union. What is wrong with that? What is wrong with being associated with a union?
I don't know. And there are megas in the union, and they're forever trying to cause trouble.
I know that. I know. I know that. Very aware. So it's just silly. You know, it's silly because, you know, then don't take the raise. Don't take the extra benefits. Don't take the extra days off that you're going to get. You know, don't take any of the sick days. Don't take any of it. Because it's the union that helps negotiate that for you. And if you don't believe in a union, then you shouldn't get a darn thing. Nothing. That's how I feel about it. You know, it's silly.
Yeah.
And, Eric, what do you believe, what are your thoughts about a liberal and a progressive? What is the ideology that comes behind that for you, makes you want to be progressive?
Okay, so I'll tell you this. I think that there is only a slight difference between one who calls himself a liberal and one who calls himself a progressive. Now, I tend to be both those things. You know, I'm a left winger, a liberal, a progressive, and a Democrat.
Yep, me too.
You know, and here's here's where a lot of, because I think that the problem with a lot of the progressives that I've criticized in the past, like you're talking the far left who want everything all at once, and then you have the centrists who say those things can't happen. And, of course, conservatives and right-wingers will make that argument all the time, which I completely disregard. Now, the problem is that even if the top Democrats and our government aren't doing necessarily the things that we push for the most, when people think progressive, they think the ones who support Medicare for all, the ones who support free college, the ones who support the Green New Deal or ending the wars, which are all things that I'm completely on board with. And I think if we had the right government officials in all the right places, then, yeah, those things would be made possible. However, there have been gains made in many other areas that have seen progress. The problem with a lot of the people who call themselves progressives don't necessarily give a lot of credit to those things because they feel that it'll end the conversation about how much further people should be pushed. You know, I was listening to a debate between Kyle Kulinski and Crystal Ball versus Breonna Joy Gray, and I got to say that the debate about this whole thing was very intelligent and articulate and eloquent. It was heated, but at least it still made sense. And, you know, for example, when you look at the state of Minnesota, you know, there's a number of things that I can list that they did out there that were some great gains. They did universal free school meals. They did public free college if you make under $80K a year. You know, tax rebates for the working class up to $1,300 if you make under $150K a year. 12-week paid leave, 12 weeks paid sick leave, 12 weeks paid family leave. You know, even though those some of those things may not have been the top things that the left is pushing, the fact that they even got those things right there shows progress in and of itself. And so people have to understand, like you mentioned earlier, the word progressive derives from the word progress, meaning moving forward. And that is a way to move forward. And I, the problem that I have with a lot of people on the left who are not giving enough credit to the Biden administration, he's actually surpassed a lot of our expectations on many things. I think some other things probably have room for improvement, but we have to remember, he did still cancel off the $20,000 of student loan per individual. We got back into the Iran deal. No, 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 not the Iran deal, the Paris Climate Agreement. We got back into the World Health Organization. We pulled out of Afghanistan. This is progress right here. And in being a progressive means that just because you don't get it all at once doesn't mean you don't get it doesn't deserve credit. It means you take the W in the instance that you get it at the same time still pushing for more. And what people and voters have to really get together on is that even with the incremental progress that we made on the Biden side, the fact of the matter is that if he loses and then we get Trump or another Republican, a lot of that progress is going to be lost because they're guaranteed to reverse it, especially with Project 2025. And so the whole thing about it is the country as it stands right now really boils down to between two options until further notice. It's either take the path of getting the slow but sure progress and the incremental progress that we're getting and it gets better and better, or go down the path where nothing positive happens and it gets progressively worse. People have to remember, progressive doesn't mean everything gets better. It means that it is moving forward. There is such a thing as progressively better. There's a such thing as progressively worse. And as we've talked about before, that's what's happened with the Republican Party. Nixon, Ford, Reagan, Bush, Trump. It's gotten progressively worse. And I don't know how much worse, progressively worse, it'll get after Trump's gone and you have some other far right winger that could basically take the baton from him and continue. That's what people have to understand, particularly because, yes, I'm in favor. There are certain things that if I could wave a magic wand, I could make it happen. But I understand that even a position I can take right below that, it would still mean progress. For example, I do support the idea of a free college. However, what I'm willing to accept is I'm willing to accept a policy where we could at least get free community college and free or really cheap trade school. I support a policy where everybody should get Medicare, but at least lower the Medicare age and then also expand it to include dental, hearing, and vision, and then also give it a public option. I support the higher wages, the $15 minimum wage. If it's higher than that, that's even better. That's where it all goes for me. I mean, Elaine, what are your thoughts?
Well, with people, when you're working with masses of people and everybody's got an idea, you get more than three people in a room and you've got quite a discussion, you have to work with moderation. You have no choice. That's life. So So I understand what you're saying. You're talking about you can have progressive ideas, and they've got to be put through with moderation.
Mm-hmm.
I understand what you're saying.
The main thing that the Democrats have to work on doing is there is a way that you can disguise yourself as a moderate while also pushing for progressive changes, because there has to be some type of push in the system to, you know, better people's lives. You know, we need more and more people to not be homeless. We need more and more people to have the health care that they need and that they want. And if they have the option, you know, like I said, not forcing, but if you don't want it, okay, that's on you. Not everybody has to have that, just like not everybody has to go to college if they don't want to. It's not their thing.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty of people have been successful without college. You know, and so there's a number of things where we can look at that and say, yes, the problem that when it comes to the debate of the progressives versus the moderates, what they're saying is that they feel that the moderate policies are insufficient due to the fact that a lot of the moderate policies is what got us to where we are. And so when you have voters screaming about things about this is what we want and we haven't been getting it through all these years, and they get somebody who calls himself a populist, and people have to understand, populist doesn't necessarily always mean good or always bad. It appeals to the masses. And unfortunately,
what has happened, though, is the conservatives have gotten into power, and they have not worked with anybody. They have just pushed through hardcore ideas, period. And mm-hmm. the biggest example is the doing away with a lot of the labor laws, doing away with voter suppression, making it harder
mm-hmm.
for people to vote. They don't
mm-hmm.
even work with anybody. That hasn't
nope.
got that hasn't got anything to do with moderate or progressive. We cannot
mm-hmm.
let that kind of majority
mm-hmm.
gain power again.
Mm-hmm.
There is no
mm-hmm.
path to success that way. They chip
mm-hmm.
away at anything and everything that's good. I'm not downgrading you, Eric. I'm just saying that this is what I have observed. We have
uh-huh.
had too many years when the conservatives have got in there and they have taken away too many things, and people don't even realize it's being taken away from them.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
In this UAW strike, there was a lot of things that they realized were taken away from them.
Yep.
One
well,
law
you know
after
what,
another.
You know what? I can agree with most of that, and that does a lot of that does make sense. I think what a number of other people have been observing, too, and I will say that this is one criticism of a lot of the top Democrats, and Biden included, for as much as I'm supporting him and still pushing for him. The problem is, and this is why a lot of people said they wish that Obama had gone a little harder than he did, and it is because they do come from an era where I understand the idea that the two parties have to work together to better for the people, and I understand that we live in a country with, I mean, we have over 300 million people in this country, so yes, I get that there are so many different types of ideas about what could be done to improve this country in many ways. And the only thing I'm sick of the Democrats doing is that they often cave into what the Republicans need. Sometimes, unfortunately,
mm-hmm.
the Republicans get the win, because even when they said that they like somebody like Merrick Garland, and then guess what? Obama tries to appoint him, and they don't even give the guy a hearing. And I think somebody who
mm-hmm.
has the idea of a real progressive mindset wouldn't have allowed that to happen, because if it was me in
mm-hmm.
there, I would be straight up telling Mitch McConnell and Rick Scott and the rest of them, well, you're not getting a say in this. Now, I know that people
mm-hmm.
look at that as, well, you don't know how to cooperate, and it just shows you're one-sided and narrow-minded. But at the same
mm-hmm.
time, if we just continue allowing these people what they have, that means we never get a win. And so that's what they come from with that, and that's how we get to people like Donald Trump as president. And I'm saying
yes.
that in order to prevent that from happening, we got to make some change somewhere, because I'm just as fearful
mm-hmm.
and concerned as you all are about the idea
mm-hmm.
of this guy getting another term. I can't
mm-hmm.
allow that to happen, and I know you all can't allow that either.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
We can't allow a lot of the Republicans to get back in either, because they
yes.
quietly keep pushing and passing these or undoing laws that they have no business undoing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most
mm-hmm.
people are under the illusion, like the John Lewis
mm-hmm.
voters law, that it passed
mm-hmm.
and it's there forever. Well, they were also mm-hmm. under the illusion that women had rights to take care of their own body. If they had a clinical reason for an abortion, they could get one. Look what they did. They just plain took it away.
Mm-hmm.
There was no negotiating.
You want to know what a scary – you want me to give you a scary fun fact right here? And some of you probably have might have figured this out now, but there were some people who actually straight up said this. And I've seen these old interviews from 2016, and people, when you go back to Hillary versus Trump, it's looked at upon as you have one person who's inside the system who obviously knows government. This other person comes out of nowhere and says basically screw the whole government and screw all the politicians and screw the system. And the reason why that attracted people was because they felt that leaning towards a populist demagogue. And by the way, this is not to defend Trump in any way, shape, or form. I'm not doing that. But
I know.
When people looked at that, I saw an interview where somebody, one of the podcasters was talking to a guy who I believe was, he was a guy in the South. I forgot what state he was in. And I don't know if he voted for either Hillary or Trump. He may not have voted, but he knew other people who voted for Trump. And he straight up said that even though they didn't trust either politician or they didn't trust either candidate, a lot of those people voted for Trump, not because of the racist or the sexist rhetoric or not because of the all those type of things. They voted for him because they claimed that they were desperate to believe in anything. They basically admitted that they knew that what Trump was saying was absolute BS. They saw right through him, and they knew he was lying, but they were desperate to believe in anything. And I'm saying that I don't think that a moderate approach is enough to overcome that. It's going to take a real progressive approach to look those people in the face and say, hey, this guy is not going to do for you. You can think whatever you want to think about Hillary or Obama or any other people, but here's this. I'll tell you right now, as far as the unions, as far as the workers, here's what we're going to do to make sure that happens. But I can't do this alone. We need a Senate, we need a Congress, and then we need a Supreme Court to help us. And obviously with Trump being elected, I mean, we lost all those things. So unfortunately, this is where we're at right now. And there is a way to turn this around. And if people don't get out to go vote this November, I mean, you're all right. There's going to be some serious trouble. And I don't know if there will be another election after this, but that's why I say I'm holding all sides accountable in the sense that the media has to not just only cover the Trump indictment. They have to cover, as I always say, the Biden-Harris accomplishments and let them know. Remind the UAW workers who stood by you and who opposed you during this time right here, who gave you the money during the pandemic through the American Rescue Plan Act, through the COVID relief package, through the CHIPS Act, who was doing this for you and who opposed it. And remind them that Trump has the opportunity to sign the American Rescue Plan Act. He refused to do it because he was listening to the likes of Mitch McConnell and Larry Kudlow. The reason why Trump people were attracted to Trump to begin with, aside from the racism and the misogyny in Russia, is because he disguised himself as somebody who was anti-establishment and who was populist, and they bought right into that. And so he claims to be separate from the Mitch McConnells of the world. At the same time, Mitch McConnell is still voting with him 95% to 99% of the time. And so what happens? He gets exposed. He goes along with it. He listens right to them. And at the same time, he's still trying to do that. Now, luckily, it seems to be wearing off for him. But this is why I say when you do things like that and you really come hard and come strong at them, that's how you have to do it. We really have to stand and fight these people. And we have to hold a lot of the voters accountable for them. Not necessarily not knowing the information, but once we give it to them and they still decide that they're conflicted between who they're going to vote for or they might lean towards Trump or whatever the case might be, then we have to let them know that from that point on, it's kind of like a, I mean, hey, it's almost like I told you so type thing. And if I could say, there's still no exact proof of where this election is going to go.
But the thing is, Eric, the two things that the Republicans are going to run on is immigration, the border. It's all we hear about is the border and inflation. Those are the two things. That's all they have. If you think about what they're complaining about or what they're, you know, if you even today when I listened to that interview this afternoon, that's the other thing that he said. The border and immigration, and, of course, inflation. Now, inflation has come down. You know, I mean, if they have enough sense, they could go and you can look it up. It has come down. You know, the job numbers are up. All of that. people are doing well. You know, it's
these same people that will scream inflation paid $500 to sit in the last row at the Ford Stadium yesterday to watch a football game. The same people that are screaming and that probably went home and put their MAGA hats on are the same people that are screaming that they can't afford nothing.
Yeah.
That's what I don't understand.
Because it's the only thing that they have. If they're Republicans, that's the only thing that they have complain about. What else do they have to complain about? Our gas prices are down, you know, jobs, people have jobs, you know, wages have gone up a little bit. I mean, what else? I mean, health care, they have health care, there's Obamacare now. I mean, there are things that are not perfect. Nothing is perfect, but everything could be better and we can build upon it, but they want to tear everything down and they don't have anything positive to replace it with. They only have negativity and fear. They stoke fear. That's what they do.
Well, but you know what? But here's another thing that I want to slip into that right quick. So let me get everybody's take on this. Elaine, I'll start with you right quick. So let me do this. Let's say this. Every time I've talked with people, especially people who are apolitical, like they don't vote for anybody or they don't support anybody, you know, we've talked about the Obama accomplishments or the Biden accomplishments. And people will sit there and say, oh, well, he could have done this. And every time people try to defend it, it's like, oh, no excuses, no excuses, excuses. But then I let them know, I said, listen, I know I'm not a political expert, and I know you're not either. But there is this thing that we have called branches of government, which means it's not just on the president. We have executive branch, we have judicial, and we have legislative. And so the thing about it is that when I sit there and tell people, yeah, we'll be able to – the reason why we did not get this bill passed is because we have half the Congress and half the Senate, and every Republican voted against it, and every person in the Senate, Republican, voted against it. And you have two so-called Democrats who turned on us, Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, who have essentially switched to Republican to a degree, voted against it. Mm-hmm. When I explain that to people and I tell them this is why we didn't get this bill, all I get told is, oh, you're just making excuses and the president's not doing anything. To which I tell them, you know what, there is a way we can do this. How about we vote most of these Republicans out, replace them with real Democrats, whether they be far left or even center left, replace them with them, reintroduce these bills, and we can actually get more of those things passed. We could have got the original infrastructure bill passed. Now, what we got was still an improvement. It was still better than nothing. But the other one I think would have been a little bit better. The original Build Back Better bill, which included K-12 school funding, which included free community college for 2 years. We could have got that. Every time I keep trying to tell people the reason that we didn't get the $2,000 stimulus checks back in 2020 was because Mitch McConnell was still the leader of the Senate. And, of course, other people voted yes. He shot it down. And nobody attempted to fight him on it. And so I keep trying to tell people that that whole thing right there about trying to compromise is a moderate approach. And I just have no choice but to tell people. I said, at this particular point, I don't believe that most Democrats and most Republicans in the government can actually work together at this point. There is going to have to be a removal of a lot of them. And that's why I say I do lean more with the progressive as opposed to the moderate in terms of the approach, because the important thing is we still have to get the bills passed, because these people are not going to be helped until the bills are passed. And as long as people like Mitch McConnell, Rick Scott, and those people are still leading the Senate on their side, and as long as we have the Kevin McCarthys and the Mike Johnsons and the other people on their side for Congress, it won't go past. And so that's why I tell people we need a mostly Democratic government for this. Elaine, what do you think of that stance?
I know that that is true, and I know that arguing with these people just doesn't work. I have presented the same argument you have. You know, put some Democrats in there, and you'll see the bills passed. And then they reply, oh, yeah, and then they'll pack them with a bunch of stuff, and a bunch of people are going to get free stuff and free stuff all over the place, and my tax dollar is going to go for the bums that get the free stuff. That is their answer. I think what we have to do is we have to make sure that we work on the people we know need to go out to the polls.
Well, but you know what? But here's the thing about that. The next time somebody happens to get in an argument with you about that and they keep saying, oh, these lazy moochers are just getting free stuff and the administration is spending all this money and doing free stuff, then ask them this question. Just ask them, okay, well, then tell me right now, what exactly did Biden or Obama or any Democrat give away for free? What do we have free health care? Do we have free college? Do we get what are we getting free programs or whatnot? They can't.
They look at you with a straight face and they tell you that there's a bunch of moochers out there and they're all getting free stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That is their argument. That is their argument from the start to the finish. Mm-hmm. They have nothing to back it. That is their mindset. You can tell them facts until the cows come home. You can tell them facts until the cows come home. They have got their mindset that people get free stuff, and it's the Democrats' fault. They have been so much propaganda that they can't even think.
Wait, once a time. Once a time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I didn't know that he was on the.
I
want to give an. Can I say something? Republican, Sam Brownback. He was the governor of Kansas from 2011 to 2018, if I remember correctly, and he put in the Reagan model in terms of economic reform. And within the space of 2 to 3 years, it failed miserably, horribly. It broke the state that, you know, so much so that they had to replace him as governor quickly. You know, what this man did, like other Republicans in other red states, even though the Kansas model failed, going off what Ronald Reagan preached in 1967 when he was governor of California, it was put into practice. And it backfired horribly. You know, and so this is what Republicans want to put forward in America now, today. And even though it failed, they still want to try it. For example, taxes. As Governor Brownback, this is recent history, Sam Brownback initiated what he called a red state experiment, had dramatic cuts in income tax rates, intended to bring economic growth. What else he did? On education in April 2014, Brownback signed a controversial school finance bill, eliminated mandatory due process hearings, which were previously required to fire experienced teachers. So because the teacher may teach evolution and not Christianity based on the Bible, they could get fired for that. On the economy, the Bureau of Economic Analysis, during the period of from 2008 to 2018, Kansas averaged an annual GDP growth of 0.9%, half the national average. And during that same period when national employment increased and wages rose and job growth in Wichita, Kansas, it dropped by 3.2%. And, you know, and in healthcare, in 2011, over objections of Republican Kansas Insurance Commissioner Stanley Prager, Brownback announced that he was declining a third $1.5 million grant to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services to set up an insurance exchange as part of the federal health care reform. You know, so everything that was right with the system created by a Democrat, you know, Republicans tend to do this crap where they repeat things that failed in the past miserably. And some things weren't even tried, but on paper, it not even look good on paper, but when you put it in an impractical, you know, thing where you try to make it, you know, try to implement it, it just sent everything crashing down, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like Republicans don't learn from that. The Sam Brownback experiment in Kansas, you know? And the arts, for example. The arts play a great role in American society. He eliminated the executive order and then vetoed government funding for the Kansas Art Commission. And, you know, they had to turn down $700,000 in federal grants because of what this governor did in Kansas, you know? You know, so the economic issues. You know, like he believed in a flat tax income tax to spur growth in Kansas, and you know he used it as an experiment, and it failed. The flat tax failed miserably. You know, it didn't cut taxes for the middle class or the poor, but it benefited more the 1%. This flat tax,
of course.
You know, and the teaching of evolution in schools. He banned that. You know, so, I mean, the whole thing, you know, is just Republicans
in terms of economics. People are saying, oh, Trump is a businessman, and you know economics. He's been bankrupt four times. You know, yeah. What sort of great economist is Donald Trump? What great economist any Republican is? Because every time a Republican comes in, deficits shoot sky high, and they put billions of dollars into the military, cut education, public education, they cut funding for health care, infrastructure suffer. We saw during George W. Bush and his two terms where roads and bridges were collapsing and what have you. And no, blame Democrats. Oh, yeah, Democrats, it's Democrats' fault, you know? How is it Democrats' fault? Your guy was in there. He had a majority in both the House and the Senate, and it did nothing, you know, in terms of infrastructure, in terms of health care. He wanted to privatize Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security, and that went flat. Mm-hmm. People are saying no. Rick Scott in Florida, this last election, our 2022 election, the midterm elections, he wanted a sunset law on Social Security where, you know, the people wouldn't get the money when they retire, but it go back to the government balance the budget to eliminate the deficit. But Social Security has nothing to do with the deficit, you know?
Nope.
And no matter how much time you try to hammer that into people's brains, the best thing to do is just hit your head against a wall, a brick wall, because these people are so, you know, brainwashed by these Republicans. Mm-hmm. And Sam Brownback, decent guy and everything, Christian guy, nothing wrong with that. But, you know, he came in at the time when the Tea Party came in and the different conspiracies came in and what have you. And again, I always say again, if you're a Christian, don't bring your Christianity into politics because politics and Christianity don't mix. So Sam Brownback is the most recent history of Republican failure with austerity measures and what have you. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And the big question I want to ask, when did the word liberal become a bad word?
Oh, that's from the Republican Party. They call libtards. Libtards, that's what I've heard. Which is
in the 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
No. Started
I think it was before the 1980s, though. When Fred Cork,
when
Reagan was the governor of California, and, you know, that's when the libtards came in and blah, 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 and the name calling and what have you, you know. And, you know, when Kennedy was president of the United States, Fred Cork, the billionaire, the father of David and Charles Cork, you know, he was part of the John Birch Society. And the John Birch Society didn't trust Catholics. Kennedy was a Catholic. And the John Birch Society, if you know anything about them, they're hateful. You know, they make Scientology look like, you know, Scientology look like Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they're still around today, but, you know, that's when Christianity came into politics, or that brand of Christianity came into politics. It was just like, you know, muddy up the whole thing. You know, and so liberal became a bad word with these people. And because they have so much money, they can run ads, in newspaper, on radio, on television, and now we have the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And the internet is like this big cesspool of misinformation, depending on which site you go to, you know. So the whole thing is just like a big sham on the part of the Republicans. Mm-hmm. Not saying Democrats are perfect, by no means, but liberal is not a dirty word, you know. Another dirty of that word up to mean socialism and communism, or, you know, stepping towards socialism and communism, which are two different political systems to begin with, you know. So if you ask any of these right wingers, Tea Party / QAnon / MAGAs, what is socialism? Oh, it's communism. No. So, okay, what's communism? You know, and they can't answer. It's stupid. They're stupid. They cannot have a conversation with these people, because I tried in this group I was telling you about before I went on here, Laurie, where in Kentucky, House Bill 289, is it, where this Republican state representative, he is pushing to legalize cousins having sex, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jesus Christ, that's so disgusting. You know, these are their priorities, the Republican Party, and they call themselves Christian conservative.
You know, yep. And you want to have legalized incest between first cousins.
Know,
that's not the priority. That shouldn't be the priority. The priority should be putting food on the table for people, strengthening
yep.
the middle class, putting money in public education, fighting the NRA, you know, things like that. But no, these Republicans rather go inside
mm-hmm.
a woman's vagina and, you know, try to legislate indecent behavior by legalizing, you know, sex between first
mm-hmm.
cousins. It's sickening. Why would anybody vote for these motherfuckers? Sorry for the cuss word, but I'm just frustrated.
It was an interview that I saw on social media. They asked this woman, what was the Civil War fought over? She looked
mm-hmm.
at the young fella interviewing her. And she said, "We
mm-hmm.
had a Civil War." And he said, "Yes." What was the Civil War fought over?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we went over to Germany, she replied. She's no,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if that one. She says, no, we
mm-hmm.
haven't had a Civil War yet. She said, we just might get one. That was her reply to what
mm-hmm.
why we had a Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third guy, I remember what he said. He was asked, he was in his 50s, why did we
mm-hmm.
fight the Civil War? He said, we better
mm-hmm.
do something now. He said, we got problems. He said, over there, and
mm-hmm.
he said, with the Arab countries. And the interviewer
mm-hmm.
said, Civil War. And Civil War. And he changed the subject again. He didn't have a
mm-hmm.
clue what the Civil War was.
No.
Mm-hmm.
That's not surprising.
And this young fellow interviewing tried to explain to them what the Civil War was. Their mind,
mm-hmm.
I don't know where their mind was. It was already
mm-hmm.
programmed. And these answers were just coming out as if there was a key in the back of them and they were virtual people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like they were wound up.
They were virtual people.
Yeah.
They answered
mm-hmm.
virtual. Answers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's
great. I am under the idea that the only way we're going to win this election is that we
mm-hmm.
have to make sure that us like minds get out there
mm-hmm.
and vote. Yes, there are some
yep.
people we can capture and we can educate, but they aren't out
mm-hmm.
there in big majorities right now. We have
mm-hmm.
to work on one
mm-hmm.
voter at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
too.
I'm not arguing with them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have to.
But Eric, let me finish, Laura. Sorry, I'll ask Eric something.
I'm not downgrading 20 state strategy. It's an excellent strategy. We have enough
mm-hmm.
people. In my heart, I feel we have the majority. We have the majority. We just
mm-hmm.
got to get their ass to vote.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we just have to get people, you know, to, of course, they have to register to vote, and they have to promise they're going to vote. You know,
mm-hmm,
that
mm-hmm.
we know when people vote in mass, we win.
Mm-hmm.
We know that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fact.
Yeah.
You know, it's
mm-hmm.
a fact. So that's,
mm-hmm.
that's another thing that maybe we, you know, the media needs to start hammering home about instead of talking
mm-hmm.
Trump. About Trump 24/7 in court and all this crap. I'm sick of hearing it. I'm sick to
mm-hmm.
death of it. I, like
mm-hmm.
Eric, Elaine, and David, I would like to hear, where's President Biden today? Where is he going?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
what is Kamala Harris, where is she going?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know
mm-hmm.
that they were going to talk about abortion today. That was their thing
mm-hmm.
today. I mean, we
mm-hmm.
need... And we needed that speech on television. We needed MSNBC to put that on TV or CNN
mm-hmm.
or I don't know, whatever else. We need that. We need to see that. People need to
mm-hmm.
see it. We don't need to hear about Trump day in and day
mm-hmm.
out. It's
mm-hmm.
burning us out. I know I
mm-hmm.
burned out from it.
Right. Eric, I want to ask a question about the 20-state strategy. In the Bible
yes.
Belt, you know, does it apply? Will you try to, like, get through to Nebraska, Oklahoma, Texas, you know, the Bible Belt, you know, which coincidentally, the Bible Belt, according to surveys,
saying that, you know, the Christian conservatives look up mostly porn. And what type of porn? Granny porn, gay porn, family porn, where, you know, stepsister with stepbrother. I mean, I'm not making this shit up, you know. It's just a Google click away, you know. And, like, it's also the biggest welfare belt in the United States. So this thing called, oh, you know, the black woman is the welfare queen, but the Bible Belt is, like, the biggest welfare queens there are. And the majority of people that depend on welfare in that area in America are white people. You know, how can we combat that and educate the people and try to get them on our side to vote Democratic? What do you think, Eric? Waste of time or...
You know, here's the thing. I understand the argument that people would consider that to be a waste of time, so to say.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem with that type of mentality, as I tell many Democrats, mm-hmm. and just like I warned them mm-hmm. about, you know, J.D. Vance in Ohio and these other mm-hmm. Republicans that won these different states, is that the mm-hmm. problem with that mentality is it leads to complacency. And complacency is mm-hmm. what got Trump elected in 2016, and it almost mm-hmm. got him reelected in 2020. I think complacency is what put Bush in there in the second term and maybe possibly the first term. So in terms of the Bible Belt, I would say that the states in the Bible Belt that I would be most focused on in terms of implementing that strategy are actually, mm-hmm. I would say, about half those states. Now, some of the states I think are too far gone at this moment. You know, you're talking Mississippi, you're talking Louisiana or Arkansas. The states in the Bible Belt that I would focus mostly on are between Texas, Georgia, Florida, North and South Carolina, and believe mm-hmm. it or not, even maybe Kentucky and maybe Tennessee. I think I might have added that to the list. And so it's to just mm-hmm. show them that when you look at the state of Kentucky, and they elected mm-hmm. a Democrat to the governorship in 2019 and mm-hmm. reelected him last year.
Right.
So part of the reason why he was able to get past the finish line is because the Republican opponent was so obsessed with loving Trump that just turned more mm-hmm. and more people off. And the thing mm-hmm. that people have to understand is that it's not just about, you know, you got older people down there who have relatives and their grandpa or their uncle went to school with Mitch McConnell or something like that, so they know him. And I'm trying to tell those people, yeah, that's nice, but look at the position that your state is in. Kentucky is probably in the top five, if not the top three poorest states in the country. You got Mitch McConnell, mm-hmm. who's got a net worth of like $20 to $25 million. What has he done? Mm-hmm. What has he put in a single dollar into helping anything in that state? I don't think he has. And mm-hmm. the thing about it is we just gotta put more and more people's minds on the idea of the policy and what's been done. And to go back to the point that I was talking about with Elaine in front of the other one, is that this whole thing about the moderate and trying to work with the other side, if you're trying to put forth mm-hmm. a policy, it's just a known fact that most of the people in one party are supportive to that policy, and then most of the people on the other party are just diametrically opposed to that policy. And if those people are going to mm-hmm. stay in the mindset that those two opposite sides can work together to put forth the policy that one side supports and the other opposes, it won't happen. And so mm-hmm. it's really just looking at it and just telling those people, here's what the Biden administration did in regard to this policy, and here's how it helped a good amount of people here, and then here's mm-hmm. what they said they would take away in the Trump administration, which obviously the Trump mm-hmm. administration had engaged in things like union busting and all that. I said unions mm-hmm. helped this country, and unions helped these states right here. And if you care about the unions, mm-hmm. then you would support the candidates who are with the unions. Now, to Elaine's point, I understand that type of thinking is too logical, and it would lose them, and they just won't pay attention because they want to stay in their own bubble. But at the same time, here's the effect that I think that argument would have. It may not necessarily mm-hmm. get them to vote for Biden over Trump, and for that matter, mm-hmm. They may not even vote, period. Some of them won't. However, in the long run, if Trump does get reelected, and let's say those things that I just mentioned, it turns out to be true, and they realize they're not being helped, then that means we can tell them, this is what we told you would happen. And we know that mm-hmm. Biden wasn't perfect, but again, he was supportive to the unions. He gave the minimum wage increase to the federal workers. He gave minimum wage increase to the contractors. He signed the CHIPS Act, which brought back, it recovered about 100,000 jobs, manufacturing jobs in the U.S., while adding an additional 800,000. And so this is what's happening. We just have to let the people know what is going on and not try to mudsling the other side too much. Now, Elaine, do you think that that is a better argument or what?
On a one-to-one basis or what?
Well, in terms of presenting that argument to the general public and some people who are undecided voters, do you think that
to the general public, and then you, in as you present it to the general public, you aren't picking out a person. So you do have the independents out there that are confused, and you start feeding them facts, and they will connect the dots. But to go out to a group that you know are too far gone, it's too overwhelming, and it's draining. Well, there's too many people out there that are independents that we have to be working on. I think we've got to work on masses of people.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you've got to work on 20, 30, 40, a group of people, groups. And in those groups are the independents.
Well, and that's the reason why I'm doing this strategy.
Dissatisfied with the Democrats, they have got to be fed the truth. We have to undo the propaganda.
It's going to be impossible.
Here's what I want to say about that. You're right. The independent voters are the biggest block of voters in the United States, and they make up the majority of the swing states, which is exactly why I proposed this strategy, is to reach out to the independent voters because they are the ultimate deciders. And I tell people, I said, that's the whole purpose of reaching out to them. When they see these things, and how we need to turn more and more independent for Biden. And once we get at least, I would say even if we get half of independent voters who are undecided in each of those states, I think that Biden's numbers would easily go up, and I think that there is more of a guarantee for him getting reelected. Those independent voters are the reason I proposed this whole strategy. And so I'm glad that I'm getting more and more people on board with that.
I have been doing on a lot of different posts that I've been going on is I have been counting the love emoji and the like emojis, and I am seeing that they are in the positive. The ha-has and the nasty remarks keep coming from the same people, from the same MAGA people. I think you could torture them and they wouldn't change their minds. They've been programmed. They are virtual people. So I don't even argue with them anymore. In fact, there's been quite a few the last couple weeks. I've told them that I would feed them, I would clothe them, and I would help them. And they still argue with me. So I just don't answer them after that. I can't be bothered.
Yeah, but you can't really reason with ignorant, stupid people, uneducated people. You know,
well,
it's just a colossal waste of time.
They're not uneducated. They spell. They put their sentences together a lot better than I do. They don't have the reasoning power. When
critical
God said,
thinking.
Reasoning brains. They were busy talking or doing something. They didn't get that part of the brains that they were supposed to get.
Yeah, there's no critical thinking on the right, basically.
Critical thinking, that's what I'm trying to think of. Yeah, critical thinking. They didn't get it.
And that's why public education needs to be funded, you know, because homeschooling is silliness. And we'll have a lot of things where, you know, public schooling, especially in Tennessee, you know, they want to defund public education and make children 12, 13, 14 years old going to these sweatshops, basically, and work for below minimum wage. It's happening in Arkansas.
Yep.
It's happening in Mississippi. It's happening in Tennessee.
Yep.
It's happening in Missouri. You know, so this right to work bullshit. Another thing, that trickle-down economics has failed miserably, you know, is that these people never learn. They're hurting themselves when they vote Republican, you know? and then have the nerve to blame Democrats.
They're owned by corporations, and these chartered schools. I was looking for work, and I found a job. I worked at the job for about 2 years,
mm-hmm.
and I worked for a chartered school. I firsthand saw exactly what kind of education these kids were getting. They weren't.
Mm-hmm.
They're public, they're privately owned. The bottom line is profit.
Mm-hmm,
kids
mm-hmm.
didn't even have hand soap. They have one bar of soap mm-hmm. in the bathroom, and I would stand there and make sure that each little girl had a chance to take and use the bar of soap on her hands after she went to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Up at the chartered school, taking our
mm-hmm.
tax dollar.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask each and every one of you a question. When was America last great?
Last great?
So I will – no,
great.
He's talking about how they say make America great again. He said, when was America last great? And my answer to that would be – I think that – so I don't know if – I think there are times where America has been greater compared to other times.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think most of us here can agree. I mean, obviously all of us here can agree that America was greater under, you know, say Obama versus Trump or Bush. I think it was
mm-hmm.
greater when, you know, like the Republicans who at the time were more, you know, like the 50s and before that, like the Eisenhower type people, the FDRs, who obviously was a Democrat. I think it was greater to a degree then, but then again, you still had Jim Crow law, so that kind of messes up the line for that. I think there's been times where America has been greater in comparison to other administrations, but in terms of it being 100% fully great, I think we're great in the sense that there are opportunities here, and people, more
mm-hmm.
and more jobs are opening up and being added back, and we can add it. We're great in that particular sense. We're great that we have freedom of speech for the most part, and a lot of our rights
mm-hmm.
are still here. But people have to understand that just because we say that America is great and we're the greatest country on the globe, it doesn't mean that there's
mm-hmm.
not room for improvement. So
mm-hmm.
there's that.
Mm-hmm. Lori, how about you?
Do I think this country has ever been great?
Mm-hmm. Or when was the last time was America great? When was the last time America was great?
I think America was great when my mom and dad came from Italy and didn't have two nickels to rub together, but they both had a training in, one was a seamstress and one was a tailor. My father was a
mm-hmm.
tailor. And they had the opportunity to work downtown in the Fisher
mm-hmm.
Building and put their talents there and were able
mm-hmm.
to, you know, work and make money and buy a home and start a family and,
mm-hmm.
you know, go on from there and basically live the American dream. Does that
mm-hmm.
happen now? No, because immigrants are hated now, basically. They've turned the word immigrant into something that's very negative, and
mm-hmm.
they make them, you know, seem evil, and they're murderers, et cetera. And that's
mm-hmm.
not true. You know, immigrants
mm-hmm.
Built this country, and that's when I think it was the best. I truly
mm-hmm.
do. You know,
mm-hmm.
back in the 40s, that's my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Well, not for black people, because, you know, 1940s,
well,
Jim Crow and
yeah,
what have you.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, yeah, you're right about that. I'm talking
mm-hmm.
about my
mm-hmm.
parents, you know, being able
right.
to come from
in
Italy.
Your personal
and
experience. Mm-hmm.
In my personal experience, yes. So
mm-hmm.
that's what I find. That's what I think maybe was the best times. And they lived in good times because, you know, people were spending
mm-hmm.
money and, you know, they were, you know, working and they were able to save
mm-hmm.
some money and buy a home
mm-hmm.
and a little home. And
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying? So they were able to, you know, basically live their dream that they wanted. So
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
now it's more of a struggle now for most people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm not sure, you know.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Elaine? When was America? When was the last time America was great? In your
opinion? When I was young. I saw my father work his butt off, but he was able to get ahead. We went from projects to a small home, a few short blocks away from the projects. My father made sure that I had bus fare to go to the best high school. At that time, it was perceived to be one of the better high schools in the country. When you were done with Cass Tech, you had equivalent to a couple years of college. That school was rough. I thought America was great then. But then, after I got married and I started branching out a little bit more, seeing a little bit more of the world, thinking about different things that my grandmother talked about when she traveled, and how she was perceived in states like Arizona and Texas. They wouldn't wait on them because they were speaking a foreign language. They weren't fed anything. They were asked to leave. I met a woman from Kentucky, and she said that the black people had to use different toilets. And that shocked me. How could that be? This is America. We're great. And I'm thinking, how can that be? So for me, it was in my 20s when I started questioning. We have got a lot of bad things going on, and we can't continue to be great until we fix them. That's how I got so involved. I didn't know that went on in Kentucky. That shocked me.
My thing is, when America was great, was during the 1960s. And the 1960s, that had innovation. They were creating stuff. They were sending people to the moon. You had the Great Society programs. You had the JFK programs. You have civil rights. You have voting rights. You know, there was progress. You know, there was, like, hope in America. And the middle class was getting stronger because of the Great Society programs by LBJ, you know. And then, you know, a next period in time when there was hope, you know, change and hope was when Barack Obama was elected president of the United States, the first African-American, you know. So, you know, there's tinges of hope there. But to me, the rest of the history, you know, slavery, the murdering of Native Americans, you know, the forcing of religion on people when the right-wing Christians came in, you know, because of the John Birch Society and everything. You know, it's like the white person, the white man, I should say, is always up there looking down and pissing on people and calling it trickle-down economics. What you're feeling, people, is not trickle-down economics. It's them peeing on you. You know? So wake up, America. Republicans, don't give a shit about you. Corporations and oligarchs, you know, do not care about you. You know, they have media sound bites and everything. But it's just a click away to information. Google, you have several, you know, sources out there. Stop watching and listen to Fox News and these right-wing people. Because they are the ones who are making America garbage. You know? Trickle-down economics don't work. From Warren Harding days to Calvin Coolidge to Herbert Hoover to Ronald Reagan in the 60s to Nixon. At least Nixon, you know, you wouldn't call Nixon a conservative. He was more moderate because he, you know, launched the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, and what have you. You know, he'd be laughed out of the Republican Party today if he ran for president of the United States. You know, Rockefeller Republicans, Nelson Rockefeller, for example, he was a moderate. Theodore Roosevelt, Ike Eisenhower, moderate Republicans. And a crazy right-wing Christian conservatives took over after Ike in full force, thanks to Fred Cork, you know, and John Birch's society. And Reagan, it came to a head when Reagan was elected in 1980. But now it's like, you know, Trump and his movement is like the John Birch society and Fred Cork and acid, basically. You know, Jerry Springer couldn't write a better script.
what the Republican Party has turned into. So, you know, patches, to me, there are patches of greatness in America throughout the history, but mostly it was built off war and slavery and genocide. America was never full-on great, but I digress. That's my take on that.
Can I ask something else there? I think you're right, David. I think that we have had patches of greatness. When we went to the moon, everybody was thrilled. Everybody was thrilled. We've had patches where we mourned when John Kennedy was shot. The world mourned. The whole country mourned. You didn't have people saying, good for that SOB. You didn't have that. When Barack Obama was elected, I personally thought this would be the end of this bullshit of black and white. That we would now come to grips. We're people. And in the 8 years that he was in office, it was happy. For me, it was happy. Those eight years, right? The country was great for me because it was moving forward. And then everything went down.
And, you know, even after 9/11, there was a change in people's hearts, you know. Everyone was a little bit nicer to each other, a little kinder, you know, after 9/11 as well. You know, the country came together. We saw horrendous death and destruction. That was another time that I can say that was probably a great time in the country, you know. But, you know, as far as, and then I agree with Elaine, we've had patches of greatness, you know. And what I explained was a patch of greatness because of my parents. I mean, that was what I experienced. So, but now these last few years have been horrible. There have been black days because of it, you know. The country is divided. People are nasty. And, you know, and I go out of my way when I'm shopping or somewhere out in public. I go out of my way to smile at people, and I go out of my way to say, have a nice day and thank you. And I think that maybe might be helpful, you know. Maybe someone else that was having a bad day, you know, might think, oh, geez, you know, I this person smiled at me or said hello to me or said, have a good day or something, you know. And I don't know. That's what we need to do. Kindness. Be kind. Just show, you know, you can be kind to somebody without doing anything. The other day I was at the store and I was checking out. I had checked out. I started walking out and there was a man that had an oxygen tank. He had oxygen, you know, and he was trying to load his, you know, you get the groceries coming down and he was putting them into the bag, you know, so, and then he was taking the bag and I could see he was struggling and he was putting it into his cart. And I just stopped. I moved my cart and I just basically helped him pack his groceries and, you know, put him in his basket, you know, and he was so grateful, but it was nothing for me. It was a couple minutes. So, you know, he was just, he had tears in his eyes. Honestly, he did. But, you know, and these are the kinds of things that we could spread kindness and a little bit of love, and it doesn't have to be anything expensive. Who cares? You know, just say hello. Have a nice day. Thank you. And maybe we can change some minds that way as well.
Do you all think that conservatism is a mental illness? I think it is. Because to do something over and over expecting a different result
is
mentally ill, mentally retarded, stupid.
I have two in my family. And how in the name of everything holy can they be conservative? Because none of their children are conservative. They are all Democrats. They're all liberal. They're all Democrats, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, how can you still look at your kids and say that you're a conservative when they're smarter
mm-hmm.
than you? Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
it is. It's a mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. It's,
yes,
it's
yes.
not evolving. It's somebody that cannot evolve. It's somebody that cannot look at a situation and say, hey, you know, maybe we can tweak this just a little bit. Maybe we can make
exactly.
it a little bit better. Let's try this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, they
mm-hmm.
can't do that. Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-uh.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what get me to about conservatives? They call themselves law and order, but yet still they instigate the January 6th. How can you be law and
okay.
order and you're killing police officers and, you
yeah.
know, shooting them with,
right.
with
oh,
tranquil,
that,
with
how can
what,
you be
what?
Patriotic when you take and you're wearing a Speedo that's barely covering your jewels and you
mm-hmm.
take an American flag and you wrap it around your sweaty body? That,
yep.
That's
mm-hmm.
patriotic.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, I look at the flag sometimes flying and I want to cry. Because that's the mental
mm-hmm.
picture that I'm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
No.
I look at
right.
it as them, you know, people like that who wrap themselves on a flag and everything. I just think it was like shit wrapping up in a flag, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because people like that are shit. Absolute shit. You know, lower than dog shit. Conservative people. Especially MAGA people. They're nothing but
mm-hmm.
shit. Let's call a spade a spade. You know, I tried to have a conversation before the show in one of these stupid Facebook groups, and I mm-hmm. posted about the HB 289 in Kentucky,
mm-hmm.
and within minutes,
mm-hmm.
people start attacking me, you know? I'm like, wow,
why?
Okay, you know? Yeah, because they say, oh, you know, it's a lie, it's a liberal, liberals make it up. And
yep.
it's right there, you know?
Yep. Yep.
You know, read it. You know, I don't know. There's no reason to these people. And God forgive them for saying this, but Jesus, I hope these people, before they die, suffer. Because they voted for Donald Trump and put America through this garbage, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And their lives themselves not getting better. But because of white, you're holding on to the white power thing. Like, yes, since 1776, we're like, you know, the top of the top, the creme of the crop. Get everything we desire and everything. Why? Because of skin, the color of our skin, you know? And no, because it's evolving. Society is evolving in the way we think and the way we act
mm-hmm.
and, you know, technology and what have you. Is that the car grows accepted. They're losing the grip on power.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, I don't want to shit on everybody. Immigrants, women, children, children through these laws that are changing in the South, like in Arkansas, where children quitting school and working for corporations for under the minimum wage, you know, things like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you just can't reason with them. So I hope they fucking die, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, but not sorry. I hope they all fucking die. And I hope Trump choke on a chicken bone and hit his head going down. And just fucking die, for real. They're huge. They're garbage. But I digress. 7 minutes left on the show. If you want to call now. The number is 515-605-9802. And the topic is Season 6, Episode 29, What Does It Mean to Be a Liberal/Progressive in America Today? We all know that trickle-down economics don't work, and conservatism is a mental illness. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, the liquidy-feeling folks, that coming down, it's not trickle-down economics, but, you know, the rich, the 1%, the corporations peeing on you. So wake up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the people in 44% that are independent or NPA, no party affiliation, wake up and vote Democratic. That's the only way
mm-hmm.
we can save the democracy and move America forward and get along with other people in the world and fight back
mm-hmm.
against China and Russia and Iran and whomever don't wish us well. You know, never write America off, you know. And that's what Republicans
mm-hmm.
are doing now. When they side with Russia, when they side with dictators, when they side with wannabe gangsters like Trump, this is not conservatism in a true sense. You know, this is
mm-hmm.
fascism. Let's call a spade, it's fascism. And fascism has no place in America. Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm. I want to add.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I was brought up to respect the flag. You say the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. The flag does not hit the ground. You fly it properly. The picture that sticks in my mind, and I wish I could get it out of my mind, like they say, you can't get it out, is when Trump walked up to the American flags and he started hugging and kissing them. To me,
enjoy
I wanted
it. Yeah.
To grow up. That's about how it looked.
Yeah, he was dry humping the flag.
That to me was so disrespectful.
Yeah, he was giving the flag syphilis, basically. He was dry humping the flag. Yeah, it was gross. I wanted to throw up. In fact, thinking about it now, I threw up in my mouth a little bit. Trump is disgusting. Mm-hmm. The whole Republican Party is disgusting.
Yes, they are.
You know? Well, anyway, that has to be the last word. Eric and Elaine, thank you so much for calling in tonight. Happy birthday, Laurie.
Thank you, guys.
Happy 39th birthday, and hope you still live to see many more and everything.
Yeah,
and
thank you
Thursday,
so much.
We'll have a brilliant show coming up Thursday. I hope people can join. And, you know, it's supposed to be an exciting topic. You know, and we'll thank everybody for, you know, sharing on social media, kitchenpolitics123.com, and our humble radio show. You know, we'll now have the Mike Malloy numbers or Randy Rhoads numbers or Rush Limbaugh, idiot Rush Limbaugh, who's burning in hell. We don't have his numbers. But we're trying, you know, we're trying to put the word out there and inform people, you know. And don't take our word as gospel, but just do your own research, you know, and information is out there by a click away from a computer. So the next show coming up on Thursday, Season 6, Episode 20, and the title of that show is Two Buttocks of the Same Backside, How Wall Street and the GOP Destroyed America. So I hope you tune in and tell your friends about it, because we know people are listening, but for some reason people are shy to call in. You could talk to them a long time on Facebook. And, you know, very talkative on Facebook, when it comes to time to, like, you know, talk and air the views on, you know, shows like this, that act very shy. And, you know, you have a home here as a liberal progressive. If you're a Trump MAGA Republican, fuck off. Don't call here. We don't care about you. We don't want you to gaslight. You are shit. And because of your idiotic, trickle-down bullshit policies that shit on America and, you know, kill the middle class, you are garbage. Mm-hmm. You are horrible. And in 2024, we're going to fight tooth and nail to get Joe Biden and Kamala Harris back in the White House, and we're going to win big time. You're talking about red wave? Fuck you. We're going to have a blue wave, and you're going to drown in this blue wave. So until Thursday, same time, same place, same station, Blog Talk Radio. We look forward to seeing you. Until next time, I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Laurie. Happy birthday.
Thank you so much, and good night, everyone. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Laurie.
Thank you. No problem. Thank you.
Yes.
And
I'm leaving, you know. Yeah, go ahead, Laurie.
We'll
you're saying something.
Pardon?
Yeah, go ahead.
No,
you're saying something.
Yeah, I was just saying, I also wanted to just real quick, Kate, the Princess of Wales, Princess Kate, I wish her well. She's had some abdominal surgery, and it seems like it's pretty serious, and she's going to be in the hospital till maybe the end of January, recovering. Mm-hmm. They haven't said what she has, but I wish her well and her family.
Yes, yes.
And on Thursday, good night, everyone, and have a good evening. Bye now.
I will leave you with Lemire Julio Iglesias. Good night.
Oh, I love you. Good night.
C'est tellement nouvelle cette chanson française qu'il faut que je lis toutes les paroles parce que elle vient de la paix il y a trois jours. Elle a seulement trois jours. Et c'est pour ça que j'ai les paroles ici. Mais je vous promets que depuis aujourd'hui, elle va être très populaire en France. Vous voyez. J'ai pas.
La mer qu'on voit danser les langues d'un golfe d'air a des reflets d'argent là.
Thank you. As an eloquent spokesman for the effort to achieve an intelligent foreign policy. Our opponents would like the people to believe that in a time of danger, it would be hazardous to change the administration that has brought us to this time of danger. I think it would be hazardous not to change. I think it would be hazardous to continue four more years of stagnation and indifference at home and abroad, of starving the underpinnings of our national power, including not only our defense, but our image abroad as a friend. This is an important election. This is an important election in many ways, as important as any in this century. And I think that the Democratic Party and the Liberal Party here in New York, and those who believe in progress all over the United States, should be associated with us in this great effort. The reason that Woodrow Wilson and Franklin Roosevelt and Harry Truman and Adlai Stevenson had influence abroad and the United States in their time at it was because they moved this country here at home, because they stood for something here in the United States of expanding the benefits of our society to our own people. And the people around the world look to us as a symbol of hope. I think it is our task to recreate that same atmosphere in our own time. Our national elections have often proved to be the turning point in the course of our country. I am proposing that 1960 be another turning point in the history of the Great Republic. Some pundits are saying that it's 1928 all over again. I say it's 1932 all over again. I say it is a great opportunity that we will have in our time to move our people and this country and the people of the free world beyond the new frontiers of the 1960s. For the liberal society is a free society, and it is at the same time, and for that reason, a strong society. Its strength is drawn from the will of free people committed to great ends and peacefully striving to meet them. Only liberalism, in short, can repair our national power, restore our national purpose, and liberate our national energies. And the only basic issue in the 1960 presidential campaign is whether our government will fall in a conservative rut and die there, or whether we will move ahead in the liberal spirit of daring, of breaking new ground, of doing in our generation what Woodrow Wilson and Franklin Roosevelt and Harry Truman and Adlai Stevenson did in their time of influence and responsibility.